Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to another edition of the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. Information has such significant power that it can no longer be simply an enabler. The U.S. Navy is in the midst of evolving its information capabilities from 20th century supporting functions to core warfighting capability. It's about providing information to any device, anywhere, at any time, giving the U.S. Navy information dominance and the capability to quickly identify, counter, and defeat threats. With us today to discuss his efforts in this area is our very special guest, Vice Admiral Jack Dorsett, Deputy Chief of Naval Operations for Information Dominance and Director of Naval Intelligence. Admiral, welcome to the show.
Michael, thanks for inviting me today.
Also joining us from IBM is Chris Lyons. Chris, welcome.
Thank you.
Admiral, I'd like to start off. Would you tell us more about the creation, mission, and focus of the recently established Directorate for Information Dominance? And what are the strategic objectives of your command?
Michael, the creation of N2N6, the DCNO, Deputy Chief of Naval Operations for Information Dominance, was the brainchild of our Chief of Naval Operations, Admiral Gary Ruffhead. He had several key initiatives dealing with information that he's implemented. The first one was to create a three-star Director of Naval Intelligence. Subsequently, he combined that Director of Naval Intelligence with all other information capabilities under one umbrella. So the N2N6 deals with all elements of information, resources, policy, requirements on the Navy staff. The third item that he did was created an Information Dominance Corps, which is about 45,000 people strong in the Navy. And that organization manages, operates, is the functioning arm of Navy's information capabilities. And then the final most significant element, I think, was he created the Fleet Cyber Command, or recommissioned the U.S. 10th Fleet, which has responsibility for cyber operations within the Navy. Within my organization, the N2N6 at Navy Headquarters, the CNO gave me his intent, and from his intent, I basically translated that into my strategic objective, which is to pioneer, field, and employ game-changing information capabilities that give information dominance over potential adversaries and decision superiority for U.S. commanders and operating forces.
With such an important mission, would you give us a sense of the scale of your operations?
My organization is about 600 people strong. We have experts in requirements, resources, programming, in intelligence, in computers, command and control, networks, electronic warfare, cyber, a whole range of information-related capabilities. And it's pretty unique to the Navy. I think we've had similar type of structures within the Department of the Defense in the past. But for the Navy, this is a fairly revolutionary step.
So I had a follow-up. How does it integrate with the Fleet Cyber Command or the 10th Fleet?
A pretty simple structure. As I'd mentioned, I'm responsible for requirements, resources, the funding, the banker, if you will. And then the 10th Fleet Commander is the operational commander for Navy's networks. He manages the networks. He defends the networks. He's responsible for our cyber operations, both defensive and offensive operations. He's got operational responsibility for electronic warfare. So a very unique and distinct definition of responsibilities. So I partner with Vice Admiral Barry McCullough, the 10th Fleet Commander, and I'm his banker, and he's the guy who's at the front end of the spear.
That's great. Thank you for that overview. Now that you've kind of provided us with a sense of this larger operation, organization and its operation, maybe you could tell us a little more about your specific responsibilities and your dual role as the Deputy Chief of Naval Operations for Information Dominance and Director of Naval Intelligence. How do these roles complement each other?
Chris, a good question. In fact, when you have one broad set of responsibilities and then also very unique responsibilities, that responsibility for Director of Naval Intelligence, separate from the Deputy Chief of Naval Operations for information capabilities. You need to make sure that there's a clarity and lack of and ensure that there's no ambiguity between those roles. For the information dominance responsibility, I am the CNO's principal advisor for all information capabilities. So what is the future of the Navy's networks? Where are we going in terms of command and control? What is our architecture for our networks? How are we going to bring ships and aircraft to communicate together? How is information going to flow? Those are all in my portfolio in that portion of the job. My day-to-day activities, in addition to being his advisor, are for programming and resourcing the future Navy capabilities. So for acquiring equipment, ensuring there's money for training, ensuring that we've got the right organizational constructs for the flow of information across the Navy in very simple terms. As the Director of Naval Intelligence, I am the senior official in the Navy for intelligence. When you hear talk about the Director of National Intelligence and the 16 organizations that make up the intelligence community, I'm one of those 16 organizations, or I lead one of those 16 organizations, Navy's intelligence structure. From my perspective, I think those divisions of responsibilities are clear, but also there's great compatibility across them.
Regarding your responsibilities and duties, what are the top three challenges that you face in your position, and how are you addressing these challenges?
Chris, the first challenge is actually a pleasure as well, as I've got a very demanding boss. That's the Chief of Naval Operations. What's challenging is trying to keep up with him. Because of his great vision, he has, when we finish one phase of the project, in other words, creating an organizational construct, he's immediately looking at progress in the various areas, warfare disciplines associated with information. And, you know, we'll make progress on fielding a specific piece of equipment to collect electronic signals, and you'll go in and explain that to him, and then immediately thereafter he'll give you another task on unmanned air vehicles and their integration across the Navy. So that's the first challenge, I'd say, and it's really pretty exciting. The second challenge is when we created the Information Dominance Corps, that 45,000 strong structure. We had different cultures, disparate organizations, definitely different mindsets, I think, and bringing them together, the individuals together. The CNO refers to various organizations within the Navy as tribes. So we basically had tribal councils early on, and then we had to find the commonality of purpose and our objectives. And that's taken us about the last 9 months. And I'll tell you, we've made tremendous progress. So there was, I won't say resistance, but in some case, reluctance or skepticism on whether that information dominance core should have been created. But when the CNO said execute, then all the members that were responsible for leading came together, and we're working for common purpose. My third challenge is, in fact, I'm thankful that you've given me this opportunity, Michael, to be here today, because the third challenge is communicating the vision and explaining to our various constituents, to include those within the Navy, what it is that we're actually doing in the Navy, and how much I call it a revolutionary change that we're actually going through. So communicating the vision and explaining the changes is really paramount.
Admiral, I'd like to learn more about you. Could you give us an overview of your career path? How did you get to where you are now?
Well, my career path initially was pretty traditional. I started out going to ROTC, Naval ROTC at Jacksonville University. When I was commissioned as a surface warfare officer. Started out on two ships, USS Oldendorf, which was a destroyer, followed by USS Dominant, which was a minesweeper. With some guidance from seniors and also a recognition that the surface warfare community was a perfect fit for a lot of people, and I'm not sure it was quite a perfect fit for me. I really enjoyed it, but I was looking for an alternative, and I transitioned to intelligence. And after I transitioned, after about 4 years in the Navy, I've been in the Navy 32 years. 28 years as an intel professional has just been outstanding work and employment. And my affiliation clearly with the Navy has been really beneficial for myself and my family. I've served all over the world as an intel professional in London, in Italy, a couple tours in Hawaii, San Diego, Newport, Rhode Island, Bahrain, and in Washington, D.C. on several tours. And each job has been progressively more challenging, and it's dealt with intelligence from the tactical level through the strategic level. My most recent assignment prior to this duty was as the J2, the Director of Intelligence for the Joint Staff. So I've really been blessed with opportunities throughout my career.
Given your experience, Admiral, what are the characteristics of an effective leader in an increasingly interconnected and networked world?
Brings to mind a quote from, and I'll try to paraphrase this, from Dwight Eisenhower. He said once that the supreme quality for leadership is unquestionably integrity. Without it, no real success is possible, no matter whether it's on a section gang or on a football field, in the Army, or in an office. I tend to agree with that. The most significant professional qualification or characteristic, I think, is integrity. That's got to be the foundation of the profession. A couple other characteristics that I think are really critical is, especially at the more senior officer level, is vision. And in this dynamic environment and age that we're in today, leading change. And frankly, that's true whether you're serving in the Navy or you're working out in industry or in a legal firm. The changes that are predominant in society today are so frequent and so dominant that you need to be agile, and senior leaders need to be able to have a component of that. And also, especially in the military, taking measured risks is an important characteristic because nothing is simple anymore, and you can't just rely on the status quo. So you have to reach out into the unknown, unexpected, and that requires you to take risks at time, but really in a measured approach.
Well, I was wondering if, because we are in this new cross-boundary networked environment, does it call for a fundamental change in how we lead in general?
I think it does, and if I could take your question and sort of translate it into something that's important for the Navy right now is, through most of my career, the Navy has been led by three primary organizational groups: surface warfare officers, aviators, and submarine communities. And they are the foundation of our Navy, there is no doubt. And organizations or communities like mine, Naval Intelligence, were considered supporting elements of that Navy. And my perspective is we are going through a transition period where those elements that have previously been considered supporting elements are now taking a more prominent role. It doesn't displace the other elements within the Navy, but it takes on a new and unique position, I think. So we're seeing changes in what is considered a leadership role within the Navy. We are seeing an increasingly diverse Navy, whether it's based on ethnic group or organizational affiliation or skill level. So what does it take to lead, I think, for our future? What is fundamental? I'd given you a couple characteristics, but I think one of the most important elements will be being able to lead increasingly diverse organizations within the Navy and groups of people.
What is information dominance? We will ask Vice Admiral Jack Dorsett, Deputy Chief of Naval Operations for Information Dominance and Director of Naval Intelligence, to share with us when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.